This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast.
Hello, and thank you for downloading the USEA's official podcast. This is episode 233, and I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to reflect on the recent intercollegiate championships which took place at Chatt Hills in Georgia. And we'll be hearing from the winning team members, that's Auburn College, who successfully defended their title. First, we'll hear from Aubrey Wagner, who rode Fernil Sinatra in the training division. And following that, Sally Johnson, who rode Things to Ponder, also in the training division. And then Dorothy Drelin, who partnered Subtle Dream Unveiled in the novice. And finally, Isabel Franklin, who partnered Anchorman, also in the novice division. And then finally, wrapping up this week's episode, we'll hear from the organizer of Chatt Hills, Hugh Lahore. So let's start with getting Aubrey Wagner's reaction to winning the championship title. Aubrey, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations, defending champions, retaining your title. How does that feel? Were you feeling the pressure of it, or did you just want to go out and have some fun with this, having won it already?
Honestly, I wasn't feeling a whole lot of pressure. It's because we won last year, I just wanted to go out and have fun with the horses, and it was great, obviously, to win at an event that's so close to home. But I just went out there and I was like, you know what, we're going to have fun. We won last year. We're going to keep the pressure low. And I mean, winning was just the icing on the cake.
Yeah. It didn't come too much of a surprise then. Did you feel you were always in command as a team? Because, you know, you obviously had the confidence coming in with the title already in your pocket from last year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Our team as a whole, we're great friends and we work really well together. And no matter the combination of girls, I think we were set up for success. And we knew that we had it in us to win again. So we just went in with that mindset. But also, I think some of us, including me, wanted to keep it a little bit more lighthearted and fun since we did win last year.
Well, this is what I call your local Gymkhana, Chatt Hills, isn't it? This is, you know, your happy hunting ground. Well, that must have been an advantage too, because you know your way around that track.
Absolutely. My trainer, Julie Richards, is about a half an hour from Chatt. So we're schooling there once a month, and pretty much every show that they host there, we're at. So it was definitely great to go to an event that we're so comfortable with and a place that we know really well and be able to pull out that win.
So did the course ride as you expected then, Aubrey, knowing it as you do?
I think it did. It had pretty much every question that it normally asks, and then I guess it had a few more things. But yeah, absolutely, it did ride as it normally does, and it was fun. I just took my greener horse training there, so it was something a little bit lower pressure for me.
Now, you seem to have a liking for Fernhill horses, and this is a partnership that's been pretty consistent for you, but it wasn't a personal best in your dressage. How did you feel, that preparation was coming into the dressage? Did you get what you expected on the day?
I did a little bit. He's always a bit hard to get round and really get on the bit and moving well, so he's kind of been my work in progress with that. But I was thrilled with him. He just kept his head down and did his job. And we went into the main show jumping arena, which is where our dressage was. So I was a little bit worried since there was jumps and flags to look at, but he just did his normal workmanlike test and he's really been coming along. So I was proud of him.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell him, well, you know, you're going to stay down this side of the arena, this end of the arena. The jumps are over there for tomorrow. So mm-hmm. he switched on.
He did, yeah, absolutely.
And compared to what you've had before, though, with him, what did you take away from that test?
He just really needs some guidance, and I think that's where I've struggled with him. I'm used to riding horses that are a bit more experienced than he is. So I normally, if something happens and I get nervous, they take over and they tell me it's okay, we got this. But with him, I really have to take charge and show him, like, look, it's okay, we're doing this, and this is what we need to focus on right now. And I think I was able to pull that off this weekend.
And talk a little bit more about the course then, because you easily made the time, and it was a very hot day. In terms of your preparation with him and how it rode, what were your takeaways?
We normally try and keep our horses, since we do live in this extreme heat year-round, we try and keep them as fit as possible. And it was honestly just another day for us, because we are at Chad all the time, and it was something that wasn't super high pressure for us. And I just went out there and I was like, okay, if he gets tired by the end of this, I'll slow down a little bit. But he was ready to run another course when we finished.
Ed, how did he feel for show jumping?
He felt great. He is such a careful little horse. He's 15-1, so he's very deceiving when you look at him on the ground. But his jump is just incredible, and he hates to touch rails.
So when you finished, what were your feelings then? A job well done this weekend? What were your biggest takeaways, having won it already before, knowing that you could win it again?
It was just something, I mean, I keep saying this, but I just wanted to go out there with low pressure, and knowing that we did do it and being able to do it again, I knew that if we all put ourselves in a good position on the first day and then we go in and we jump clear and we were all able to do that, it was just, we were setting ourselves up for success.
Well, talk about the atmosphere a little bit, you know, and the stall decorations, you know, the partying. It becomes like another version of Young Riders, doesn't it, at Intercollegiate Championships. Where did you finish with the stall decoration? Did you win that too?
I don't think we won the stall decorations, but it's really cool, because a lot of these girls are not fortunate enough to go to Young Riders, myself included. And you get that team experience, and you're all able to go to a show together, and you can cheer for one another, and it's really special. And I don't think there's a whole lot of other team events that you can go to besides Young Riders and the Collegiate Championships that offer that.
Yeah, what do you most enjoy about that team environment then, Aubrey?
It's just special to be able to come together with girls around this sport that you love so much, and being able to cheer for one another and really be supportive. And there's no competitiveness among us at all. We want each and every one of us to do our best and to improve upon what we did last time. And it's such a special feeling.
And this, I understand, is going to be your last opportunity, because you're about to graduate.
I actually have one more opportunity to go to CHAT next year.
Oh, okay.
We can go, if you graduate in December, which I will be doing, you can go back to the championships that following spring.
And I'm just guessing that you'd like to do that and make it a hat trick.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what next for you then, Aubrey? Obviously coming to the end of semester here and looking forward to, I mean, your other horses as well, because as I said earlier, you do seem to like the Fernhill horses. What is it about them, and what, talk a little bit more about your team and what else you're going to be doing this summer.
The Fernhill horses, Julie Richards, my trainer, is very close friends with Carol, and she's been partnered with her for I don't even know how many years. But she finds some really great horses. She has a wonderful eye for them. And I've built a relationship with Carol, so she knows what I like now. I actually just went over there about 2 weeks ago looking for another horse. And they just have everything. I can go over there and I tell her the specifics of what I want, and she knows what to bring out for me and what I'll like and maybe won't like. They're so versatile. You have the blood of the thoroughbred, and then you have a little bit of the great flat work with the warm blood. So it's a cool type of horse that you can bring over.
And this summer, what does it look like for you? Where will you be heading next?
I am actually not quite sure. Things have kind of gone not quite to plan this year. So I have a horse that's hurt and one that's being sold right now. So I really only have Fernhill Sinatra, Frankie, going at the moment. So I'm hoping to move him back up to preliminary. I moved him up last year, and he just didn't seem quite confident enough to go around and do that. So hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll get him going consistently at preliminary.
Terrific. All right. Well, I know how much you enjoy the sport. So again, congratulations on retaining your title there at Chat Hills this weekend. And good luck with the summer plans with him and for your future, too. Thanks for coming on the show, Aubrey.
Thank you so much.
Our next guest is Sally Johnson, who rode Things to Ponder. Hi, Sally. Welcome and congratulations.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Well, how are you feeling about it now you've had a moment to reflect? Because you went back to Chat Hills this year, been on the team last year, on a mission, really, weren't you?
Yes. I mean, I personally, I'm so competitive with myself, but obviously from a team standpoint, after we won last year, I was just so determined for us to try our best to make it happen again and get a little redemption for myself, honestly, because last year my team totally pulled through and brought it home, but I actually was the drop scorer. It was my first CCI two-star long, and I went into show jumping and just let the pressure get to me and had a few misses and didn't give my horse a good ride and had three down. And like I said, thankfully my team all went clear and we got that national championship, but it's kind of haunted me all year, and I just really kind of wanted to get some redemption for myself and, you know, kind of pull through for the team, because we were in the same position this year, but I had to go clear for us to win, and my horse was just a complete dream, and it was awesome.
It clearly was for you. So how did you handle that pressure? I said you were on a mission, but you came with the experience of last year and how you handled the pressure last year. Sally, how did you handle it this year? How did you find a way to channel the mental game?
I honestly, as soon as I saw the scores, I texted my coach and I told her, I have to jump clear on Ponder tomorrow for us to win. And she said, you've just got to, you know, keep your head and stay calm. And then I like rode out to the show with her, and she knew I was just like killing myself with the pressure. And she's like, you've got to just keep your head calm and let go of the pressure and jump a clear round and think about what you have to do and not let it get to you, because you and the horse can jump clear round, but you just have to ride the way that you know how to ride. And so I just kind of try to keep myself busy all morning. And then, of course, I was in warm-up, and it was going well, but I wasn't getting into the perfect spot. And then I heard huge shrieking and cheering from our team, and Aubrey had just jumped clear, and then I was the final one to seal the deal. And I just, you know, gave him a pat and walked in and told myself, you know, whatever happens is going to happen, but I need to go clear. And somehow I kept my head and got him to a good spot everywhere. And he is just the biggest trier and can easily jump a clear round, but he is still a green horse and he's a 6-year-old and he needs me to be accurate. So I fortunately was able to give him a good ride, and he tried 110%. And oh my God, going over that last oxer and jumping clear and seeing my team and seeing my mom and everybody just jumping up and down, I just like, oh, it was unreal.
It must have been a tremendous weight off your shoulders, Sally. But what did you learn from last year that helped you actually deal with the pressure? Because you're taking this sport very seriously now, being a professional, starting a new job, and taking it obviously very seriously, wanting to do your best, and importantly for the team after last year. So what did you learn, and how did you apply it to the game this year?
I'm so hard on myself as a rider. I let every little mistake just kind of, I think about it for like, if I have a mistake one weekend, I think about it till the next event until I have a chance to redeem myself. And I just, you know, show jumping is kind of always the heartbreaker for everybody, but a lot for me, because I'm getting better at the dressage and I've always found the cross country to be my best phase, but show jumping, I just get in my head so much. So after last year, I've just kind of really committed to getting better at the show jumping. I've done some recognized jumper shows down in Ocala. And, of course, we have, like, the Chat Twilight shows, which are 30 minutes down the road. So I've just tried to really focus on my show jumping as kind of my weak point right now and just getting more accurate. And so I've kind of worked on that all year, even though the horse I took last year to championships, she was an amazing mare that I had the opportunity to lease, and I took her intermediate this spring, and so the experience I gained from her was amazing, and I think it really helped me to start giving Ponder a better ride, because he and I are going to do our first prelim as a pair at Virginia Horse Trials this weekend. And so him being a young horse and needing good rides has really motivated me to get better and get more accurate. So that's kind of been my goal all year, is just to kind of clean that up.
Yeah, I guess really hone those skills and sharpen your focus, so the pressure, you know, just goes off to the side, hopefully, because you'll be so much more tunnel vision. Now, you finished on your dressage score, finished third in that division, and you'd actually a pretty good result for him, not his personal or your personal best with him for dressage. So talk a little bit about the preparation for the event generally, Sally, how that dressage rode for you and how you were feeling about the cross-country course, being familiar with the track, obviously, as you are.
Right. So he is really a solid horse all three phases. He has an amazing work ethic. So the past couple of weeks, we've just been trying to fine-tune everything. Like I said, we're getting him ready for hopefully a season of preliminary, so we've been working on those movements and just really getting him supple and getting him stronger in the contact and all of that. And he just went in there and did his job, and, you know, kind of I've had him since he was a two-year-old, so I know him like the back of my hand. And when he was, a baby, like a four-year-old, getting him in the warm-up and getting him focused was just next to impossible. He'd see all the other horses and just not want to do anything that I was trying to get him to do, because he was just looking at everything else. And then he turned five and just completely came together and has had an incredible work ethic and just wants to go in and do exactly as I ask. So I just kind of try to balance my warm-up time so that I ride him enough so that he's not too fresh in the ring, but I don't ride him so much that he gets low and tired and not on my aid. So I think I had the right amount of warm-up. Had a couple little tiny bobbles, like he tripped in one of the canter lengthenings behind, but he just went right back to work. And I think in a few months' time, he's going to be a really competitive horse on the flat, because he's just getting really into his six-year-old year and he's getting so much stronger. And like I said, I mean, just wants to do whatever you're trying to get him to do. And then on the cross country, he is just a superstar. He sees the jump and is going to jump it. And so my job is just to be more accurate with him and kind of keep him calm and keep him just quietly going over the jumps, because this weekend, obviously while wanting to do well for the championship, it was also my last prep for our move up to preliminary together. So I didn't want any, you know, big crazy distances or anything like that. So he just went around and did his job well, and he's just really starting to look for the flags and calmly know what he's supposed to be doing. So that's really starting to be a good feeling.
What does it mean to you personally, though, having now just graduated, you look back on your contributions to the team and the opportunity to be a team member on the intercollegiate championship team. Now, it must be obviously valuable experience, but what would you be your biggest takeaways from that experience, Sally?
It's been incredible. I came in as a freshman, and we had some amazing girls that had really worked hard to start the team and get the university to back us. And it was just kind of in the beginning stages of my freshman year. And that was also the same year that the championships first started. And that just gave us so much motivation to, you know, have an end goal for the year and something to work towards. Personally, I did finally get to the intermediate and two-star long level last year, but I aged out of young riders before I was able to compete. And, you know, I feel like everybody that's like middle school, high school, like you kind of deep down, your goal is always to make it to young riders. And for me, one thing or another happened, and my horses either were maxing out at training or weren't holding up or just, you know, not really the right one. And so I didn't end up having the opportunity to go to young riders as a rider. I did go as a groom, but to be able to have a big team experience and represent your school, it's awesome because, you know, kind of it's the last team, real big team thing before, like, you know, the U.S. team stuff. So it's nice to have like an opportunity to be on a team when it's just for fun, but also a big deal. And, you know, obviously all of us dream of riding for the U.S. team one day, but the reality of that happening for everybody isn't too likely. So it's really fun to have an opportunity to, you know, work together and support each other and be there when it doesn't go well and be able to celebrate like this weekend when it does. So it's just a really cool opportunity for anybody that's, you know, making the certainly tough decision to continue to ride in college.
Well, now that you've taken the decision to make eventing your career, what are your big goals?
So I obviously, I've kind of worked all through high school and college and, you know, tried to do school as best I can while doing the horses. And it's so nice now to be able to focus on it full time. I have, of course, my wonderful Ponder, and he is like on the cusp of successfully getting prelim. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing to produce him because I think he's a really top class horse. Obviously my dream would be to take him 5-star one day, but one way or another, I think he has all the pieces to be a 5-star horse. I'd love to keep him and continue to produce him as long as I can. But of course, being on my own now, finances are a big concern. So I'm going to try to figure out a way to keep him and keep going with him. But I really believe in him and want to see what he can do. And then I was fortunate enough, literally the day after graduation, I flew over to Ireland to Fernhill Sport Horses and found an amazing 5-year-old that actually just landed at JFK. So he'll be here Friday. And hasn't done a whole lot. He's just done some young event horse stuff over there. But I'm super excited about getting him and seeing what he can do. He's honestly the first horse I've ever bought. I've kind of just ridden what I've been given or what I could find or what no one else would ride. So when the opportunity arose for me to finally look for a horse, Julie talked to me because she's obviously in a good partnership with Carol and said, you know, it'd be fun for us to just go over there and see what we can find. And so I was fortunate enough to find him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Well, exciting times ahead, Sally. But in the meanwhile, you know, reflect on what you did this weekend and your contribution to the team in retaining your title there. So again, congratulations and thanks for coming on the show. Good luck.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate the support. I'm looking forward to seeing where the team will go because I know they have a bright future ahead.
And joining us now is Dorothy Drelin, who rode Subtle Dream Unveiled in The Novice. Hi, Dorothy. Welcome to the show and congratulations, your debut on the team, and you won.
Thank you.
How exciting was that?
It was very exciting. The whole experience of just being there with Auburn in general for my first championships was really exciting. And then to win on top of that just made it really special.
Yeah. And your freshman, like you just finished your freshman year in college and obviously enjoying the sport when you have time for it now. But this partnership with Subtle Dream Unveiled, how did that all come about? Where did that begin?
So I do not own her. I'll just refer to her as Dreamer. That's her barn name. She belongs to a friend of mine who has recently graduated from Auburn and is a grad student there now. And I leased Dreamer for a year and a half when I was in high school until I purchased my own horse. And Dreamer competed for the team with her owner last year. It was her owner's senior year of college, and she was on the winning team last year. And then I got the opportunity to take her and compete her just for the weekend for Auburn again this year, and she was on the winning team this year.
Yeah, that was a lucky ride, wasn't it? And You were fourth after dressage. So what were your expectations going into the competition with her?
I think Dreamer is very steady when it comes to dressage. And I think if you ride her well, it's pretty manageable to score in the low 30s or high 20s. So I really just wanted to give her a nice, steady ride for my test and just ride her to the best of my ability for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And just give her a solid ride.
And you felt that you did that? You were happy with the test?
I was happy with it. I felt that there were one or two things that I could have done a little bit better to potentially get, you know, the score 2 or 3 points lower. But for the most part, I was very happy with it.
Now, how did you feel about the cross-country course when you walked it?
I thought it looked good. I thought it looked very fun. I was also there competing a second horse on a different team for Auburn, and I was taking him. That's my primary horse that I was competing on a different team, and I was taking him training. So I got to walk the novice course and the training course, and I thought they both looked very doable, very fun, and I had clean rides on both and had a great time on both courses.
Yeah, you certainly did. It all went your way, didn't it? You finished second individually in that division, in the novice division.
Yes.
How did you handle the sort of being on the team for the first time, though, Dorothy? I mean, were there nerves or just excited anticipation, or did you feel some pressure?
I did feel a little bit of pressure, I think, because, you know, for the most part, riding is a very individual sport. And if, you know, if you don't have a good test or if you have a cross-country stop, it really only affects you and your horse. But when you're on the team, it affects everyone. So I did feel some pressure to go out there and give my horse good rides. Luckily, it did not completely come down to me to win. I went a little bit. I jumped sooner on Sunday with Dreamer, and I knew I had a clean round, and it actually came down to my teammate Sally. She knew going into stadium that she had to jump clean for us to win. So luckily that pressure did not come down to me, but I definitely did feel some pressure throughout the weekend.
What kind of lessons did you learn then from being part of a team and that atmosphere and the expectations on you as a team member? What would you say were your big takeaways from the weekend in that respect, Dorothy?
I think it's just really important to communicate well with your team and work together. And I think the way that our teams are made for the weekend are an important part, you know, how they place people that have some strengths and weaknesses with other people in order to make it an even, you know, strong team that has a good chance of winning.
And in terms of the pressure as a rider, what you would have learned as a rider, not just as a teammate, but your own performance and your own development as a rider?
You know, I think I was pretty nervous. I was actually more nervous for my stadium round on the other horse I was riding that was not he was not on the team that was in first place. I was in first place on him individually in my division, but I was a lot more nervous for that round than I was for my cross country round on Dreamer, oddly enough. But I feel like I know Dreamer pretty well, and we had a good record together. I think she's very straightforward on cross-country. She loves her job. So I do think it comes down to knowing yourself and knowing your horse, whereas with my other horse, our stadium can be a little bit more unpredictable. You know, we can have rails here or there. So, you know, that resulted in me being a little bit more nervous for that ride, even though he was not on the first-place team.
Right. So obviously a wonderful experience for you, and you probably want to do this again, do you?
Yes, I would love to compete all the next 3 years for Auburn.
Yeah, very exciting times for you, you know, having got that experience behind you. So what is the summer looking like for you now that you're out of school and a summer ahead of riding, of competitions, and how many horses will you be competing?
I will go back to just competing my horse this summer, and I have Area 3 championships scheduled to do with him. Not this weekend, but next weekend at Poplar Place Farm. And then normally we kind of do, you know, maybe one or two shows during the summer just to keep him going. But really would like to work on potentially moving up in the fall and getting more into the upper levels of eventing.
Right. In the meanwhile, you can look back on this weekend and the celebrations too. Did you get really involved with all the, you know, the decorations, the barn decorations and the partying? And that must have been a fun part of the whole experience.
Yes, that was really fun. I had never experienced that before because, you know, when it's just you competing, no one brings Auburn decorations or anything. And everyone was so excited to be there. And I was blown away by how decorated everyone's stalls were and everything.
Well, lots of happy memories there that you can cherish for a long time to come, and come back again next year, hopefully on the team, and repeat that performance. Keep up the tradition with Auburn that seems to be dominating there now, having retained the title this year. So good luck with your riding plans, Dorothy, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, of course. Thank you for having me.
And completing that winning team from Auburn was Isabel Franklin with Anchorman. First of all, congratulations. That was your first time on the team. How does it feel?
It's an unreal feeling. I actually transferred from the University of Mississippi to Auburn University. I didn't ride horses my freshman year. My parents wanted me to focus on school, so this is my first year back riding. I didn't have any big expectations, just to get back in and get my feet wet with riding again. And I've just been so lucky to have been placed on this team and been surrounded with an amazing group of riders.
How was the whole weekend for you then, Isabel? Because it was your first time. I mean, the whole experience of being on a team, the partying, the decoration, and the pressure of being a team member.
Yeah, so this is my first time actually ever competing on a team with other riders. So that's just something that was new, and I was nervous because my actual horse, he had surgery April 4th. And I was like, you know, I felt like I wouldn't be able to successfully ride a catch ride. And just through the support of my team and my friends and my coaches, they kind of hyped me up, and I got to ride Lindsay Lanier's Anchorman, James Brick. And it was just a great weekend to be on the team and to have the support of my team for a catch ride, which I was quite nervous about.
You had to have been, really. I mean, it's a thrill, obviously, to be on the team, but when you're not riding your regular partner, how well did you know Anchorman before you actually competed with him this weekend?
I rode him for just a week before the event. I had a great lesson with Jan Vinny before on Thursday, and we popped around some cross-country jumps, and it made me feel more confident. I had never show jumped him before, so going into the show jumping ring was the first time, and we had a few rails, but that's completely okay. The first three people before me had stops at the first jump, so I came in riding forward, and that was just my whole thought process the whole round. So I felt that I let my team down a little bit in show jumping, but they were so nice and so rewarding and so uplifting, even though that happened.
Yeah, that first fence did seem to have an elephant behind it. There were a few stops there, weren't there?
It did. The two first girls got stops at the jump. I honestly think it was the 1,000 flags on the backside of it. And Brick is a little bit of a green horse. He's only done four events before then. And I've been really lucky with my actual partner, Mooney, and we'd competed about, I think, five shows before what would have been this championships. So I was looking forward to it on him. But Brick, you know, really stepped up and it was really nice.
How did you feel about the cross-country course, though, with, you know, having little experience with him?
I was a little bit nervous, to be honest. I know he was green, but he really is reactive to your leg. Whenever you put your leg on, he really tries and he really moves off of it. So I was okay with that, but hadn't really done any banks, and I just always had a vendetta against up banks, which I had one on the course, so I was not looking forward to that. He was actually great when he came out of the Starbucks. He was moving and cruising, and he actually has a great gallop, which I never gotten to ride before on him, so I had a couple speed fault times because of that. And he had a little green moment on course. We jumped over 8, which was the log in front of the water, and then he launched into the water with nothing there, which caught me off guard. But it's okay. We came back, jumped out of the water great, and he was just super the rest of the course.
And so your overall experience and biggest takeaways would be what then, Isabel? Because there's a lot to take on, not only your first championship, being on the team for the first time, but riding a catch horse as well. A lot of pressure, a lot of senses going on all at the same time. What did you mostly take away from this, apart from the celebrations?
My biggest takeaway would probably be just the incredible feeling of being on a team. Everybody was just so supportive and so welcoming for me being my first year too. And everybody, you know, no matter what happened the whole weekend, they were always, you know, right there by my side no matter what happened. And I think having this these clubs for so many schools now is just so amazing, because riding and college can be a struggle sometimes, trying to balance everything, and having a group of girls as a support system, and they're just with you along the whole way, getting it done and being all together, is a great feeling that I'll never be able to have with anything else.
So what would you say to you know, other college students who are thinking that they might try and riding and doing some eventing while they're in college, and the opportunity potentially to be on a college team?
Honestly, I say go for it. I didn't ride my freshman year, and the whole time I would sit on Eventing Nations, all the pages, watching everybody else go and all my friends that were still riding ride and have fun, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And so coming back to it is such a great feeling, and with these college teams you have such a great support system that I say go for it. A lot of girls, you know, they help. There's another girl on my team, Carrie Bundy, who's also pre-med, and we just, you know, help each other out, plan everything, and give each other the support to get through those hard classes and come out and have to condition your horse after a long day of school.
What did it teach you as a rider then, Isabel?
As a rider, I think it taught me to ride more for a team instead of just myself. I mean, I'd go out there and I'd put the pressure on me, but I never really had a team pressure before. And, you know, even though it's super hard and it's super there is a lot of pressure on you with the team, I would say it's just more fun, honestly, like being with a bunch of girls to get through the event.
What next for you then, Isabel? Will you get to ride at Ankerman again, or will your horse be ready to come back into work shortly?
He actually is ready. I'm heading out to the barn now to trot him for 5 minutes. So it's kind of slow rehabbing him, but we qualified for AECs, and I'm really shooting for that with him, and slowly bringing him back with the heat and all the stuff that's going on with the summer. But that's our goal. We're shooting for it.
So finally, what would be your message to your teammates then from this past weekend that you didn't get a chance to say to them with all the celebrations going on?
I would say to my team, thank you for welcoming with open arms. I am a transfer student, so that's a little bit scary, and everybody, I just love all of them so much. Everybody's just kind of become a good friend of mine, and I feel like if I ever had an issue with my horse, they would be there for me, and I love having this supportive community of horse girls.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations again. Enjoy the honor of being part of that intercollegiate championship team, and a memory you'll cherish, I'm sure, forever. And thank you for coming on the show. You take care, and thanks again for coming on the show as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And finally, to wrap up this week's episode, we're going to hear from the organizer at Chat Hills, Hugh Lahore, who was particularly satisfied with how the weekend went, hosting the Intercollegiate Championships for the first time. Hi, Hugh. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be back again. It's been a while since I've been on your program.
It has, and you have been obviously extraordinarily busy with Chat Hills this past weekend, hosting the Collegiate Championships, of course. A huge event for you. 17 divisions, I counted. That's a big weekend, but it went very well, apparently.
It did. We were really happy with the way it went. May's always a little bit of an anomaly for us. We're not quite sure what's going to happen in May. We have our nice big spring CCI 4 Star Hazard now in the spring. Then we have May, and then the summer series in June and July. So May's just a stepping stone between the two, I feel, sometimes. But to add the collegiate championships, it was the perfect timing for that. We had 160 entries last year for this event, and we had 300 entries this time. And it was a lot of it due to the collegiate championships. We ran in advance, and that seemed to go. I was thinking, really, you're going to run in advance at this time of year. We might get six or eight runners, and that'll serve the area well, because that's what they wanted. We ended up with 17 or 18 in the advance. So really pleased with that. The lower divisions obviously supported massively, and also a bunch of new people to Chat Hills from out of state. All the collegiate lot coming in. A lot of them had never been to Chat Hills before, so that's it's always fun to run a good event when people are here for the first time.
And let's talk about that advanced division as well as the Intercollegiate Championships, Hugh, because as you said, you put that on quite late in the day. How did that pan out for you?
Good. Joe Meyer asked me to do this in the spring. He said, we really need a run before Broman. And I thought, okay, that's great. I do like to think that here at Chat, when we get asked to do something, we have a go. And I thought, well, how can this backfire? A, it can cost me a lot of money and I'll get very little entries. B, we don't know what the ground's going to do at Chat in May. And obviously there's a high expectation at advance, higher than at preliminary. It just gets higher the higher up the grades you go. So I was just hoping it was going to pan out all right and we didn't get negative feedback from running in advance at the last minute without any real preparation. But it was last minute. I think we only got the go-ahead 2 weeks before. Rick was already taking entries, which I hadn't appreciated. And we got 18, I think it was, in the advance. So it was well worth our while. I think it obviously served the area well, because there were 18 horses that needed a run at advance at that time of year. So I think it all came off pretty well, that class.
And the collegiate championships themselves, though, you had to create, an event within an event for that, because obviously these college riders, they expect a bit of a party, a bit of, a stall decoration and the rest of it. You had managed to create quite an atmosphere there.
Yeah, I think, the college kids bring a lot of atmosphere, don't they? They're going to do that. I suppose my nervousness on that front was I'd never been to a collegiate championships before. I didn't really know. I didn't have a benchmark as to what to. I know Virginia did a great job of doing it the last 3 years, and we just needed to make sure that we could keep up with what they did, not embarrass ourselves. Penny and Laurie Rowell really took it and did an amazing job. I don't know. I carried on running an event, and it's about who you surround yourself with, classically. And those two ran with it. Laurie's such a energizer bunny. She just loves the whole collegiate scene thing, whether it's basketball or football. A mad University of Georgia fan, and so the idea of doing something collegiately to her was so exciting. And Penny Kenny did all the scripting and the rehearsals and came up with it. Well, we all came up with the concepts, what we were going to mark them on. So I think, yeah, again, I think what Virginia did was great. We added a little bit more to that pie. And again, we'll probably hopefully step it up again next year. And Virginia will step it up again the year after that. And we can get more recognition and more colleges and things involved. It's great. It's great for the sport that the universities are taking, are starting to take our sport more seriously.
Well, there was an increase in numbers, I believe, for the intercollegiate championships themselves, but also for your event. I think you told me at the weekend you had something like 300 total entries over those 17 divisions. That is a steady increase then for you, exponentially.
It is. It is great. Our events, our spring event, our April event grew. We did much better at the upper levels than we have in the past, and I know chat's on an incline. We're doing quite nicely, thanks. And I know there are other venues out there that are probably suffering a little bit. Other venues are doing well. I feel like our numbers are increasing every event we run, which is always nice. The collegiate championships is an anomaly that brought a lot of entries to this particular event. But I also think we got fortunate. We got lucky that we probably pulled in. I mean, we had 90 horses in the collegiate championships, but we had 140 more horses than we did this time last year. So I think some of those collegiate people would have been here anyway because they're local. I would say we're up 100 entries on this event last year. So no one's going to grumble at that. It's very, very good. And I think, you know, we do have a good team. We do create a good atmosphere. It's hard to knock. You know, there are the odd negative, but there's so many positives. It's such a well-oiled machine here. I don't do very much. I just got a good group of people around me that make for a good atmosphere. We're very proud of the place. It's a lovely place. We try our hardest, and it just seems to keep growing.
And of course, that essential base of volunteers that you have, as well as loyal sponsors. Talk a little bit about the growth of those, particularly the sponsors over recent years, and now with hosting the collegiate championships, Hugh.
Well, that's something we probably actually don't tap on enough. We do a lot here out with horses. We do a lot of movie production and music and all that sort of festivals and things like that as well. So we don't probably spend enough time on trying to get the sponsors as we probably should do. Any time that is focused on the events is very much focused on the running of the horse trails and not trying to do the extra bits and pieces because we really don't have the time to spread ourselves thin like that. But so the sponsorship side of stuff, we should probably do more. The USEA bring great sponsors to the collegiate championships, and I hope we did the sponsors well. But the volunteer base you touched on is extraordinary. We've got quite a deep volunteer base, but we also have a core of people that are out here. We run 14 events a year. We have 7 horse trials recognized, but we also have 7 unrecognized horse trials. And in some ways, they're harder to run those because you have jumpers and dressage and combined tests, and then you have the 3-phase. And there's a lot to do at a schooling show when you have 220 horses. And the volunteers we have coming out, some of them do come out 14 times a year, and that's extraordinary. We just thank, obviously, our volunteer base massively for what they do. And luckily we've got a deep enough volunteer base and such an enthusiastic group of coordinators, volunteer coordinators that are able to draw from different pools all the time and just keep everybody enthused with Chart Hills moving forward, always trying to make improvements.
Well, clearly the venue plays a very important role in Area 3 and for the USCA, and not least of all now with the Collegiate Championships. Where would you like to take the event in the future, Hugh? What are your bigger plans?
As I say, we don't have a lot of time to think. Bigger plans? I just want to get better. I want our venue, as I say, is always improving, you know, a little bit at a time. We're not doing the grand things that some other newer venues around the place are doing. We've added our show office and our pavilion. We're adding lodgings next. You know, by the time our June event comes around, we'll have four little log cabins. We've got Wi-Fi going through the whole system before the summer event, before September. With little bits and pieces we're adding all the time to improve the event. And I think with that, the numbers will just continue to improve. If you're meaning, are we going to CCIL 4 or bigger, grander events, we don't really have that in our sights, to be honest with you. I think that takes a federation to come to a venue and say how to bite it, I think, really. Because there's a lot more to think about there than just running a horse trials. It's all the press, the media, the TV, all that sort of stuff. We don't have that in our sights. We just want to keep improving on. There's always room for improvement on what we've got. So that's really our main goal, is keep getting better at what we already do have. And I think we want a venue to be significant in Area 3. It is significant in Area 3. But I want other events in Area 3 to benefit, not necessarily from what we're doing, but it's if we do a good job and the other events in the community do a good job, then more and more people are going to winter down here. More and more people are going to base themselves and live down here. Then the community as a whole does better. I love the fact that Barry at Stableview is going to run a CCIL, CCI 4 short, the week before us in Aiken next year. I believe that's going to happen. It might hurt my numbers a little bit, but it's great. It's great for our area. And I think if Florida Horse Park and Glenn up there at Pine Top and Stableview, it's not all about Chat Hills. It's about the whole community improving and drawing more people to the area. Then all of our numbers will go up.
Yes, the tide rises for everyone. Absolutely. Well, it was a wonderful weekend, a hot one, but you're used to the heat down there.
Well, I'm not. I don't like it one little bit, but it's been a good weekend, and we better get used to it because we've got another 5 months of this heat. So, yeah. No, it was a fun weekend, great weekend, some good feedback, and thanks for coming down. That's the first time you've ever been to Chat Hills, I believe.
Absolutely, and certainly not my last. It's a wonderful venue, and you really do put on a tremendous show for us. So thank you for that, Hugh, and thank you for taking time to come on the show and putting on such a wonderful event this weekend.
Well, thanks, Chris. It makes it all worthwhile when people pay tribute and notice the efforts put in by so many. Thanks for having me on the show.
And that is our show for this week. My thanks to all of our guests and to you for listening. If you'd like to hear more episodes of the USEA's official podcast, you can just subscribe free of charge on any podcast app. Just look for US Eventing Association. And of course, it's also on the website at useventing.com, where you can hear all the back episodes. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time when we'll be continuing our series talking to past presidents of the USEA as we celebrate 60 years this year. And my guest will be Mike Huber. Do join me then. In the meanwhile, remember to follow us on social media for updates on the podcasts and all the latest news from the US Eventing Association. Just look for US Eventing on your social media channels. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.